Lecture topic, your ultimate goal.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa bihi nasta'in wa nusalli wa nusallim ala khatamil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, nabiyyina wa habibina wa qudwatina wa imamina Muhammad ibn Abdillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa tabi'ina wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'du. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم تنزيله إن الله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama, beloved brothers, respected listeners, if we were to sit in the masjid and we were to come early for salah and we were to look at the faces walking through the doors of the masjid, whose house are these people coming to? Why are they coming here? What are they trying to achieve? What is it that they are trying to gain by walking through the doors of this house? Let me try to respond. We know it is not my house, it is not your house, it is not the house of the person whom or who helped building it. It is not. It is the house of Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, my creator and your creator. The one, the supreme being, whom we are going to return to upon death. As Muslims, we don't make sujood to Isa alayhi salam. We don't make sujood to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't make sujood like the Hindus do to the cows and the idols. We make sujood to the supreme being who created us and whom we are going to return to upon death. Therefore, as Muslims, my dear brothers and listeners, we are taking no risks at all, nothing. The minute you say somebody's name, the minute you worship or read salah for a prophet, automatically you are already risking. What are you risking? Am I right? Am I wrong? Am I doing something right? Am I doing something wrong? But when you say, whoever created me, I am putting my head on the ground for that supreme being. Whoever created the universe, I am putting my head on the ground for that supreme being. Whoever created the sun, the stars, the moon, the skies, I am putting my head down for that supreme being. The one whom when I die, I will be in his mercy. Whoever is in control of my entire goodness and evil, whatever I do, my sustenance, when I die, and this is the major point, whatever happens to me, there is a supreme being in control. That is the supreme being that I am putting my head down to. And what we say, forgive me my sins, have mercy on me. Who are we addressing? We are addressing the supreme being who controls that mercy. When Allah created us, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, he created us in such a way that we cannot remember what happened within the wombs of our mothers. If he wanted us to remember, we would have remembered it. How we were born, no one remembers. Your mother might. Those who might have been there may remember the complications or the difficulties that were there when you were born, when I was born. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to keep it in such a manner that you don't know, you can't remember. I can't remember either. Why? Because he wants to see, does this man take risks when he is going to worship? Or is he a risk-free person? And it is simple. I myself, alhamdulillah, have managed to convince people who are not Muslims that look, as Muslims, we don't take risks. No risks involved. When I put my head on the ground, I don't worship the Kaaba. Never. It's just a direction. Yes. We know the greatness of the Kaaba, but we don't worship it. You will all agree with me. We know why it is there as well. It is awwal.
Inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nasi lalladhi bi-Bakkah.
Definitely the first house to be built for Allah was that house in Mecca, the Kaaba, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know the power of the house, the history of the house, the spirituality of the house. The minute you see it, your hairs stand. May Allah take us there time and again. So that is the house, but we don't worship the house, we face in the direction. Qibla, do we worship this mihrab here? No, we don't. We worship the creator of the universe, the one whom I'm going to return to. Now tell me, after you have died, and may Allah grant us a good death, may Allah take us to Jannah when we pass away, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. The mercy of Allah is what I wish to discuss tonight, in brief. That is why I began with Inna Allaha Ghafurur Rahim. Indeed Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Let me tell you, when we die, and say you have died, though we will not be able to feel it or picture it because we haven't gone. No one who's gone has ever phoned us back, even though we have cell phones these days. And even if you put one in the grave, they still won't phone back and say, you know what, this is how it is here. They can't. Subhanallah. No matter how far technology goes, the ruh is from Allah.
يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا.
Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ask you about the ruh. Tell them that the ruh is from the command of Allah. It is Allah who knows what it is, and you have not been given knowledge besides just a little. Think of technology today. Subhanallah, I was reading an article in the aircraft this morning where they spoke about credit cards. The minute you use a credit card in the shop, that chocolate that you picked up whilst you are walking towards the till, and we all know they always put these enticing chocolates on the way to the till so that your kids cry for them, don't we? And we know that even when you look at it, suddenly you feel hungry. This is why a tip: when you go shopping, make sure you are full. Make sure you have just eaten and you go. Otherwise, you'll buy so many things that you don't need. That is just a tip. As you swipe the credit card, they know what chocolate you have bought, and it is already ordered from the manufacturer. We have one less, we need one. Subhanallah. You paid for it, it goes down from your bank to their account, and the name of it goes from their department straight to the factory to say, one chocolate down, we're going to need one soon. By the time it gets to 24, they know the box is ready for dispatch. Subhanallah. That's technology. But that will not happen when it comes to death. No matter how many senses they can place on your body, what type of technology and computers and laptops and palm tops and what have you, microchips they can have in your grave, wallahi, no one is ever going to come back to say, this is how it was and that how it was. But I can tell you how it will be. How can I tell you? Because we are lucky, we are fortunate, we have been granted the acceptance of being from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, I tell you that kalima is the most powerful thing you have been gifted with, and I have. May Allah keep it with us and with our offspring, and may Allah guide those who are around us to Islam. Let me tell you, because of that, we can today describe what will happen even after you die. Because we have been told, and wallahi, I was teaching last night my class, and I was telling them that when you hear هذا حديث متفق عليه, this is a hadith متفق عليه, agreed upon by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah, Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj al-Qushayri al-Naysaburi rahimahullah, when you hear that these two imams have agreed upon a certain hadith, your hairs should stand, because you should be guaranteed that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has uttered those words. I have no doubt in it. Subhanallah. Which sunnah, which ahadith, which life, which prophet, which person's history has ever been recorded to that accuracy? Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, if I give you one small incident of his life, wallahi, you will go berserk to his intellect granted to him, his memory granted to him, by whom? Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Let's leave that example for some other time, inshallah. So for that reason, when we hear that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us something, and we hear that that hadith is muttafaq alayh, we should know automatically, there is no doubt in my mind, that that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's words. This does not mean that a hadith which is not muttafaq alayh is not a correct hadith. No, it does not mean that. But what it means is, for the one which is muttafaq alayh, there is no ghubar, there is no dust, there is no sand, there is nothing that can obscure it, no mist, nothing. When you hear, innamal a'malu bin niyyat, wallahi, I'm proud to say this in this masjid. Those are the words of my beloved and your beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you say, innamal a'malu bin niyyat, you must know you are chosen to utter the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are chosen to be from his ummah. So, do not despair. You have been granted a status so high, his words, you are saying them. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. The first hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. The first hadith in most of the books of hadith. Subhanallah. For this reason, we can speak today. We can tell you what is going to happen in the grave. We've been told. MashaAllah. So let me tell you, going back to what I was saying. When a person passes away, what is going to happen to them? Oh, a lot has been said. Subhanallah. People fear death. People are scared. You know, it reminds me of dragging a bull to the slaughter pen. And that bull does not want to go. If we could, and if we knew when we were going to die, we would literally put reinforcements so that they would have to drag us to death. Is that not correct? That is the problem today with us. The hadith says, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. The difficulty with the Muslim ummah is that they love the dunya so much that they begin to hate death. Subhanallah. Yet another hadith says, "Tuhfatul mu'minil mawtu." The best gift a believer can be given is death. Because Allah promised you, when you read salah, you get so many rewards. When you fulfill zakah, you get so much. When you fast in the month of Ramadan, you get so much. You read durood sharif, you get so much. You read salah wa salam ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you get so much. When are you going to see all that? It's like that credit card. It's being swiped, being swiped, being swiped. When do you find out that you are either bankrupt or you've gained something? When you go to the bank and you try and find out your receipt, meaning you get a statement. I need to know what I have. And after you get the statement, you're not going to see the cash until you withdraw it. The same applies to us. Obviously, it's a different example altogether. You need to go to the Akhirah. You need to get your record. And you need to now go with your statement, so to speak, to Jannah. Inshallah, may Allah grant that to us. And the doors will be opened for us. And what will happen? Listen to what will happen to those who will be driven to Jannah. May Allah make us from amongst those. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. Those who feared Allah, those who were conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will on that day be driven to Jannah in groups. May Allah make us from amongst those groups. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. When they get to it, they will find the doors open. Subhanallah. The verse before that, Allah describes the people of Jahannam. May Allah protect us from Jahannam. May Allah save us from the punishment of Jahannam. When Allah describes the people of Jahannam, He says the doors will be locked like a prison. When you go to the prison, the doors are locked. You need to go there, stand, they make sure, and then they open the doors a little bit, you enter and they close the doors again. So Allah says, when the people of Jahannam go to Jahannam, the doors will be closed. Then as they arrive, the doors will be open for them and sealed immediately after they enter, as a prison would do. But when it comes to Jannah, when you arrive, the doors are open. The palaces of the kings today. What happens when they arrive? The owner of the house arrives today. If it doesn't open, you touch a button and subhanallah, it starts opening. Subhanallah. So what will happen? They will be driven. We, inshallah. And don't doubt that. We will be driven in Jannah in groups. May Allah make us from amongst the earlier groups rather than the later groups. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا. The keepers of Jannah, the angels who are the gatekeepers of Jannah,
will say to us, inshallah, and I'm saying us for a reason, because wallahi we want to be there.
Salamun alaykum,
peace be upon you, subhanAllah. Today in the dunya, we are stingy to greet our Muslim brothers and sisters with Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How do we expect to be greeted with the same greeting on the day of Qiyamah and in Jannah? So don't be stingy. Lesson number one. Don't be stingy with your greeting. Greet others with the intention that even if they don't reply you, at least the keepers of Jannah will greet you.
Salamun alaykum.
SubhanAllah. Read the Quran, Surah Az-Zumar, towards the end. These are the verses I'm reading. Tibtum, you have indeed done good. You have indeed become pure. You have indeed achieved.
Fadkhuluha khalidin.
You shall enter it. Enter it forever and ever. Enter what? Jannah. Subhanallah. So that is what will happen in the Akhirah. But let me tell you, at the moment of death, a person has died. They are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith says,
مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا سَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تُرْجُمَانٌ.
Every single one of you is going to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a barrier or a translator between the two of you. Have you prepared for the day?
إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ الْقَمَرَ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ.
Indeed, every single one of you are going to see your Creator as clearly as you see the moon on the eve of the 15th, the 14th night. Go out and look at the moon. How clearly can you miss it on that night? You can't. So we will see Allah, each one of us, as clearly as that. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the question is, the risks that are involved, we as Muslims should be minimizing them. And when I say we worship only Allah, think of it, you've died. Now, your whole life you've been making dua. Save me from the punishment, save me from Jahannam. Do you think that you have been making dua to someone deaf? Were you making dua to a human being? Were you making dua to an angel? Were you making dua to a pillar? Were you making dua to a tree? Or were you making dua to the creator of the tree and the skies and the sun? You were making dua to the supreme being who created everything. Who did not want you to remember the day you were born for reasons best known to him? So now you have taken no risks. He knows that you made a dua, forgive me. Wallahi, do you think he is going to say, I didn't hear that dua? Do you think for a split moment he is going to think that this person read salah, but no, I don't want this person? Wallahi, he is looking for any excuse to forgive you. He is describing himself as most forgiving, most merciful. Wallahi, my dear brothers, the faces I am seeing in front of us here, there is a message I have for you today. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my creator and your creator. Don't become scared to the degree that it stops you in the dunya and makes you pull the brakes so that you don't want to die. But be concerned, how have I prepared for my meeting with Allah? That's all. Once you are prepared for that, inshallah, you will be heading in the right direction. Subhanallah. Let me tell you something. As we are seated here and watch the people coming into this house, the house of whom? That same supreme being. Do you think he doesn't know that we are seated here today? The hadith says, whenever people gather to remember me, Allah is saying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no creature. He was not created. He's a supreme being who creates. He was not created. We all read قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ and we know the meaning of it.
اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ.
And I'm sure we know the meaning of that. Subhanallah. That is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one we have come into this house for. The hadith says, whenever you come and gather in order to remember me, the angels surround you and the blessings of Allah descend. The angels make dua for your forgiveness. Wallahi, whilst I am speaking, there are angels seeking my forgiveness and your forgiveness from Allah.
وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِمَنْ
في الأرض. The angels praise their Rabb, who is Allah, and they seek forgiveness for those on earth. La ilaha illallah.
How fortunate are we? We have angels seeking forgiveness for us. And we pass so many days without even having asked forgiveness once from Allah. Ya Allah, I'm a criminal, forgive me. We are all criminals in our own ways. Some are big criminals, some are small criminals. Some are mafia, subhanallah. And the others are small. But we are all criminals in our own way. But don't we have to ask Allah's forgiveness? Imagine the angels are seeking forgiveness. Therefore, when you get to a gathering like this one, where we are speaking of Allah, where we are speaking of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your very presence itself is istighfar on its own, seeking forgiveness from Allah. May Allah make this an opportunity for us to turn. So, as the people are entering, I asked you the question at the beginning. What do you think they are here for? We know they are here for Allah. They are here for a message. They are here for the Quran, for the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are coming into the house of Allah. Can I give you a little example? If you didn't know someone, would you go to their house freely? No, you wouldn't. If you knocked on their door, they might even think you were Jehovah's Witnesses walking around. In fact, when I was in Britain, I saw stickers outside, Jehovah's Witnesses not welcome. Finished. Straight. Which means they should not ring your bell or you will prosecute them. Subhanallah. But when you know someone, you will go to their house. If you know them more, you will go more to their house. When you have arrived in a city, let's say for example Cape Town, if you know someone very well, you will hunt them down and go to see them. Or they will come to see you. And they will be so happy when you come to their house or when they come to you. Is that not a fact? Common sense. The same applies to the house of Allah, my dear brothers and listeners. You are here because of your connection with Allah. Had you not had that connection, you wouldn't have been here, believe me. It is Allah who accepts you in His home. You have come here because He loves you. And because He wants you to be here. Had He not wanted you to be here, wallahi, He does not need you. So thank Allah, we are in His house. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. When you are closer to someone, you go to their house more often. So come to the house of Allah more often. To display your closeness to Him. And He will in turn grant you the comfort that you need. The serenity that you need in your heart. You need peace in your heart. We are all suffering. We have our problems. In the house, in the business, at workplace, in town, in the city, in the country. We have problems which make us feel like we are not at peace. Yet Islam itself means peace. Amazing. How did Allah choose a name for this deen which happened to be so close to peace? Yet people would be complaining for not being in peace. Subhanallah. So let me tell you, when you come to the house of Allah, when you frequent the house of Allah, it is a sign of iman.
إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ.
Definitely those who frequent the masajid. يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. One of the meanings is those who frequent, those who increase the numbers in the masjid. Yes, and those who assist in the masjid in one way or another. They are those who fear Allah. They are those who believe. They are those who do so good and so much good and so much good. The ayah has described them. So surely, is it not a sign of acceptance? Why then do we have to lose hope in the mercy of the one who accepted me to come here? Subhanallah. And let me tell you, I have sat in some masajid and I'd like you to do it. Sit in a corner in such a way that you can see the entrance. Look at the people, the faces who are walking in, the different types of people. Not because we want to mark a register, this person came for Fajr, this one didn't come, now let's go and spread the news in Cape Town to say this one comes to the masjid and this one doesn't. That's not the reason. That's not what we want to do. That's not my business. That is what the day of Qiyamah is there for. In order to judge people. I don't have to judge here and now. Otherwise I'm taking over a job that's not mine. May Allah protect us. So, look at the faces. And visualize that you are sitting in Jannah, in the house of Allah, in Jannah, in the Akhirah. And these people are walking in. Be happy with that, subhanallah.
And you should know you were there first, before them. What has driven people into the masjid? Is it not the need to be in Jannah? Tell me. Don't you want to be in Jannah? Wallahi, we want to be in Jannah. Who does not want to go to Jannah? Put up your hand. I don't see any hands. That means we want to all go to Jannah. And we are coming to the masjid for Allah. So have hope in that Jannah and enter the doors and look at the others and love them because their goal is just yours, subhanAllah. Today we dislike people. We don't like people. We don't want to talk to them. We want to cause this problem. But my goal is the same. They want Jannah. I want Jannah. And Jannah is not my house where only 10 people can fit and it will be full. And I have to put a sign on the door. Or it's not a hotel where when you phone and they say, subhanAllah, we are fully booked. Wallahi, it has place for everyone. My Jannah and your Jannah. Inshallah, in my stay in Cape Town, I will speak, inshallah, one of the talks just on Jannah and what we are going to get in Jannah. That's it. Just one whole talk, inshallah. Because we need to know, what is it that we are paying for? We are paying. Every day we are paying. We pay 5 times a day in the form of salah. You miss one payment, it's like missing a payment when you're paying for a home. What happens? You miss 1 month, the bank adds something, which is haram, known as interest. When it comes to us, we are not asked for interest, but do your qadha, salah, that is a payment. You are paying for your house in the akhirah. Imagine, we are so small-minded. In the dunya, for a house that I might stay in for a few years, I might not even stay in, every year, every month, I make sure from my salary, it must go direct. It must go direct payment. Why? I need to live in this house for how many years? For 10 years, 20 years. You're going to die after that. But for the house of the akhirah, we can't make the payments, subhanAllah. For the house of the akhirah, we don't want to make the payments. We don't want to know about it. Someone says, come for Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr. We say, no, never mind, man. Allah is merciful. Ghafurur Rahim. That's the excuse we use today, isn't it? But remember, yes, He is Ghafurur Rahim. But when He's telling you to pay, pay. Tell me, pick up the best man in Cape Town, the richest and the best, and ask him for a loan. He'll tell you, listen, if he's the best, he'll tell you, look, I give you R1 million interest free, but pay me back installments, R1,000 a month. How long will it take you to pay? So many years, subhanAllah. But that is a good man. However, you default, tell me what he does. He is the best man, but won't he come and do something to you? And you default 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, he's going to take you to court. He's going to get you to jail to say the man stole my money. Though we know him as the best person, he gave us an interest-free loan. He gave us the best terms possible, and we're still not paying. We can understand this example for this world which is coming to an end, but we can't understand the example for the akhirah, subhanAllah. Allah says, He's given us the best terms. He says, you will make a payment for Jannah in such a manner that it will be according to your financial level. If you don't have much, there's no zakat on you. You don't have much, there's no hajj on you. You come to the masjid, subhanAllah, come for salah. Everyone can do that. If you can't because you are paralyzed or lame, you don't have to. Subhanallah. Allah has tailor-made everyone's payment according to His own capacity. But still we don't want to pay. I have hands and legs, I don't go to the masjid. The day I don't have my legs or my hands, now I think, ya asafa. Oh, goodness, I should have gone to the masjid. What despair. Now it's too late. So are we waiting for the day we lose our hands and legs before we do something good? Or are we going to use our capacity in the right direction? Let me tell you the good news I was about to give you. The faces I am seeing here, hold fast to La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And I will meet you in Jannah with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the good news I have come to you with today. Hold fast to your kalima, shahada. And we will meet in Jannah, the faces that I see here today. Subhanallah. Don't think Jannah was created for someone besides you. Subhanallah. Don't think you are too bad to enter Jannah when Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say to those people who have transgressed grossly against themselves, who have done grave sins. When Allah says grave sins, what sins is He speaking about? The gravest of sins. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Subhanallah. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Why?
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا.
Indeed, Allah is going to forgive all your sins. Subhanallah.
إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
Definitely, He is most forgiving, most merciful. Subhanallah. We've heard this tons of times. Have we understood what it means? It means if you are doubting the mercy of Allah, you are insulting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tells you, I am most forgiving, most merciful. And you say, I have doubts about that in my heart. Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, we cannot utter that. We cannot feel that. We cannot believe that for a split moment. Believe me, no matter what you have done, turn to Allah today and now. Make a resolve. It's not difficult. Make a resolve. For the sake of Allah, you will find peace in your heart. You will find comfort at home. Leave all those haram things. Wallahi, we have a lot of baggage. You know, today I was hearing the brothers speaking about South African Airways. What do they say? They say they're becoming hard with the hand luggage. I heard it. I heard it. They're becoming hard with the hand luggage. Yes, they are. Do you blame them? Because people want to carry too much. That's the thing. Wallahi, remember, you want to go to Jannah. Don't get all extra baggage. What is extra baggage? That woman there, she's not my wife. But what happens? I'm having an affair with her. That's extra baggage. How much does she weigh? 70 kilos. They only allow 20. Subhanallah. Yes. Similarly, those bottles of what have you, they weigh a lot. You can't carry those. You are not going to go with extra excess baggage. We understand the example for SAA. And you know, I want to give you an example of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, which applies to South African Airways. He says, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Take account of your deeds before they are taken account for you, and a disgrace is made of you. Don't we all do that for South African Airways? Hey, how much is that bag? It's a bit heavy. Take out 5 kg before you go there. Otherwise, you're going to have to pay for this and for that. So what we do, we take the scales and we weigh it. 20 kilos. All right, that's fine. 25. 26, it'll go. 30, you'll scrape through. Smile at the lady there and it's all right. Yes, that's the system. That's how we operate. For what? For silly things we want to take from one country to the other. We weigh it. We make sure we have weighed it before we go to the airport. We already know whether we have excess baggage or not. How many of us have ever gone to the airport without knowing how much baggage you have? Tell me. Maybe the multi-billionaires who travel around the world with their own aircraft. Maybe that might be the case. So let me tell you, dunya, we can understand that weigh your bags before you go to the airport. Let me tell you, weigh your deeds before you go to your grave. Subhanallah. Each one must know how much baggage you have. And it's not too late to shed the extra baggage. You have problems in your mind. You have pressure. You have tension. The secret, leave haram. It is haram that brings pressure to your mind, tension to your mind. Maybe your mobile phone is causing problems. It might be, it is an issue today. I know I deal with it. So many people come to me, their marriages are about to be broken. Why? They don't want to give up just the mobile phone. Subhanallah. Take a look at the youngsters on drugs. A few moments ago, I was speaking on the radio and I said, Wallahi, I know of brilliant youngsters who have the best character, the best conduct. They can compete regarding character and conduct in the whole city. But they have one weakness of drugs. And wallahi, take the mobile phone away from them. You will help them solve half the problem. Change their ring of friends. Go to a new locality altogether. You will help them solve 3/4 of the problem. So it is this environment that spoils us. It is the mobile phone that spoils us, the internet that spoils us, if we don't know how to use it. So if you know how to use it, alhamdulillah. If you don't need it, don't have it. Believe me, it is a solution. We have too much excess in this world. And this is where we are creating unnecessary tensions in our head for nothing. You know. This is why the hadith says, remain at home for as long as you can. Subhanallah. لِيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ, the hadith says. Your home must be broad and spacious for you. Stay there as long as you can. Why? The minute you go out now, some people just have a hobby. I'm feeling bored. What to do? Jump in the car. Let's drive around. Drive around and see what? You're going to see that woman and this woman and that person and that man walking on the streets.
your eyes are like the spears of shaitan. And that description in the hadith is so apt, because when you pull your spear, when do you release it? When you see the buck, don't you? When you see the springbok, what happens? Immediately you release and you get it straight. Straight, subhanallah. And until you don't get it, you keep on, hey, running. Hey, I saw a nice buck. I saw a nice one. Hey, that one. Hey, that. What do you want? To eat. To eat what? The meat. So now you carry on. The same example is given about haram and about women. Wallahi, in the hadith. Why must we be shy? Let us face the facts. You see something, your eyes like it, that spear is going to be shot from your eye. You will not be satisfied. You will not sleep at night until you have shot it straight to where you wanted to. Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, it is the truth. It is nothing to hide. We are adults. We know what is being spoken about. And who spoke about it? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Is that not excess baggage? Is that not something extra which we don't need? So the secret is, use from the dunya. Take from the dunya as much as you want. Have hope in the akhirah. Always turn to Allah. Always reflect on your deeds. Every day, set aside a time of the day. Wallahi, it is my advice to yourselves as well as to myself. Set aside a time of the day. Every day. And ask yourselves, what did I do today? Good or bad? Decrease the bad, increase the good. For the sake of Allah. And if you have the correct intention, wallahi, you will be told, "Udkhuluha bisalamin aminin." Enter Jannah with total peace, in total security. Don't you want to be told that? Imagine when you, on the day of Qiyamah, when we will all be standing, may Allah grant us the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we will all be standing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to say, please, come forward through the green route, Jannah, subhanallah. How do you feel? How would you feel? It can happen to you. Yes, it can. But you have to give Allah that excuse. It will happen to you. And believe me, it will happen to you. But you have to give Allah that excuse. What excuse? At least you need to say, Astaghfirullah, Ya Allah, forgive my sins. Ya Allah, I'm a criminal, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, I've done so much wrong. Keep me steadfast on the right path. And Ya Allah, take me away from evil. Remember, guidance is in the hands of Allah, but the effort is yours. The effort is mine and yours. I need to make an effort. So don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. That is why I say the message I have come with you today is, wallahi, we will meet in Jannah. We are sitting in the house of the owner of Jannah. We are sitting in the house of the owner of Jannah. Tell me something. The president of the country, you want to see him. You want to enter his palace. And you go there every day of your life. A group of you. You go by the door. And you say, please let us in, please let us in. Please let us in, please let us in. And you are not let in. You go back. You go back again the next day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, every day. Tell me, is that man not going to say, hey, look, let these guys come in, come on. He will see your dedication. Is that not correct? That's what we are doing in the masjid every day. We come one time, two times, three times, five times a day. And every day, for 1 year, for 10 years, for 20 years, we are saying, Ya Allah, we want Jannah. Ya Allah, we want Jannah. Ya Allah, we want Jannah. Do you think he's not going to give it to you? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Think of it that way. Do you think he's not going to give you Jannah when every single day you are asking him, Ya Allah, give me Jannah? A human being, you yourself, if there is a beggar that comes to you, please give me a dollar or a rand. Every day he comes to you, give me a rand, give me a rand, give me a rand. You will give him 10 and say, listen, please, have 10, don't worry. Is that not correct? You will. So let us keep on. Keep up the pressure in the masjids. Ya Allah, we want Jannah. Ya Allah, you own it. We don't deserve it, but your mercy will give it to us, Ya Allah. Your mercy will. What do we want? We need the mercy of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us from his mercy. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah. Wallahi, I tell you, we can go on and on, but khayrul kalami ma qalla wa dalla. The best of speech, that which is to the point and short. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the ability, myself included, to be steadfast. To realize who we are, where we are going. Come on, how old are we? 50, 60, 30, 40? How many days do you think you are going to live for? I can't guarantee that I'm going to step out there. So let us all say here and now, Astaghfirullah. I seek your forgiveness, Ya Allah.
I seek your forgiveness. Say it from the bottom of your hearts. Don't be shy. Astaghfirullah. Ya Allah, forgive us. Ya Allah, we need your forgiveness. If you don't forgive us, Ya Allah, we have no one else who will forgive us. And let me tell you, when you say that once, it's enough to forgive everything you've ever done in your whole life. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The mercy of Allah. You tell him, Ya Allah, forgive me all my sins. Wallahi, every single thing you've ever done is deleted, formatted, and thrown not only into the recycle bin, but even taken out from there and gone. Subhanallah. So there we are. We've purified ourselves, inshallah, for the sake of Allah, because we have no hope in anyone and anything besides Allah. I have nothing, no need, no hope. Who can forgive your sins besides Allah?
وَمَن يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ.
Who can forgive your sins besides Allah? Is there anyone? No one. So I need him more than I need water and drink. I need him more than I need air to breathe. Subhanallah. And remember, when you have sought forgiveness from Allah, consolidate it. Try not to do something bad again. Don't calculate bad, evil and mischief. Don't. And if you happen to slip and drop, turn to Allah and seek his forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to appreciate hope in him. Yes, we need to be worried about his punishment, but the greater part of the scale, we should be more hopeful for his mercy, inshallah. May Allah forgive us all. What I will do, inshallah, I will take a few questions related to the topic, inshallah. The reason why I say this, you know, I come from Zimbabwe. If I am to open the floor for any and every type of questions, what will happen? Unfortunately, we are weak. We tend to forget that we are all heading in the right direction and that we are all aiming for Jannah. I don't know of anyone who doesn't want to go to Jannah. That's our ultimate goal. That's why we are here. But we tend to forget this, my dear brothers and listeners, sometimes. So what happens? We ask a question to do that man down. And we ask a question so that, yeah, I want an answer, so we want to fix those guys there, you see. So they must know what's right and wrong. No, we know what's right and wrong. Everyone knows. Al-halal bayin, al-haram bayin. Everything is loud and clear in front of us. Don't try and fix people. Let's fix ourselves. So for that reason, I normally dislike questions whereby I am used as a gun to shoot down other people. Yes, it happens. And for, I know, sometimes there are issues within the community that must be resolved by the ulama of the community. If I'm invited by the ulama, alhamdulillah. But for the general public to use me to make a problem worse is haram. It can't. I will be insulted to say I went to Cape Town and they used me to make a problem from 2 to 4. You know? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us to mend relations rather than to destroy them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us to bring the ummah forward rather than backward. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us to make people prepare for the akhirah rather than for the dunya. So, if there is anyone who has a question related to what we've said, inshallah we'll entertain it. Now. Yes. You want the example of Sahih al-Bukhari, the man was so powerful that there was a time, and I'm giving the example because he's asked, and correct, it's related to the topic. The man was so powerful, at a very young age, he became famous amongst people. He used to travel, he had so many sheikhs, and these sheikhs whom he used to go to listen to hadith, they were so knowledgeable people, they saw a young man coming for hadith. They were amazed. You know, one day, he traveled for so many days before he arrived at a certain place. And he wanted one hadith because he heard, he already had that hadith. But he heard that the chain of narrators was one person less, which means a stronger chain. So he traveled all the way for so many days. He arrived there, he spent the night outside, early morning. That sheikh already knew that there is this Muhammad ibn Ismail who's coming to get a hadith. So in the morning, he got up, the sheikh, and he came out of his house. He saw the donkey and he lifted up his clothes, the kurta that he had, and he actually made a noise with his mouth in order to call the donkey. So the donkey came running, thinking that there was food in the kurta.
And what happened is, as the donkey came, and Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail was a young man, youngster, youth. He was watching from the side, you know. And this man then released his clothing and jumped onto the donkey. So what did he do to the donkey? He cheated the donkey. The donkey came for food, but he wanted the donkey for something besides food, like what we are doing today. May Allah protect us. That's what we do in our lives. So Muhammad ibn Ismail, rahimahullah, he put his belongings on his back and began to walk away. So this man said, but didn't you come for a hadith? Wallahi, if you can cheat an animal, you will cheat us. I can't take a hadith from you. Subhanallah. I can't take a hadith from you. I've traveled so far, I don't want to know what you have to say. Salamu alaikum. Gone. One example. The other example of his memory, he was tested by the mashayikh who came to see him that this man is intelligent and he is supposed to be Shaykhul Hadith. Let's see what he's got to say. What do you have to say? A great number of them, 50 of them came. Great sheikhs. They sat round him. They said, right, let's test him. We will, each one of us will tell you a hadith and you must respond to say the sanad. You know what is a sanad? The chain of narrators. And the hadith, the matin. The matin is the wording of the hadith. We will mention the chain and the wording. We want you to tell us whether it is right or wrong. If right, why? If wrong, why? So the first sheikh started. He mentioned a hadith with a long chain. The chain of narrators means the name of the people who have heard the hadith from one another. Until he got to the Prophet ﷺ and he mentioned the hadith. They looked at him. He looked at them. He made a movement with his head. And he said, you know, can the next sheikh speak? So they thought, this man is daft. He doesn't know anything. The next one spoke. He mentioned a long hadith, a different hadith, and the same response. The third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, the sixth one, up to 50. All 50 complete. They were upset with him because they told him, they said to themselves, this man, not one, he doesn't know any of them. And then he asked them, have you completed? They said, yes. He says, right, as for you, looking at the first one. You mentioned this hadith, this was the chain of narrators you mentioned, and the reason why it is wrong is because this person whom you mentioned was born 6 years after the demise of that person, so there is no possibility of the two of them meeting, so that is why that entire chain is wrong. And as for the wording, that wording, this is the discrepancy in it, the second man. You mentioned this hadith, this was the wording, this is the chain of narrators that you mentioned, but it is an incorrect chain of narrators because of this reason. That this man in the chain of narrators known as Muhammad ibn Sa'ib al-Kalbi is a liar because in his life there was once an incident whereby he had to make a sale and he lied to the people what he had to sell. For that reason we can't take that hadith from him. And so on and so forth until he completed all 50 hadith. After which each one of them had to pledge to him that you are the Shaykhul Hadith. You are Shaykhul Hadith. You are the one who knows. So what I mean is Allah had granted him such a memory that is amazing. I know when I was studying in Madinatul Munawwara, Shaykh Muhammad al-Mukhtar al-Shanqiti, I'm sure those who have studied there will know him. He used to ask us once, about 70 of us in the lecture hall, Udhkur ismak wa baladak. Say your name and your country. And we would say our names and our countries. After that, he would always call you with your name and your country. Ismail, Zimbabwe, kaif halak. Straight. He didn't have to be told a second time, what's your name? No, it was an insult. With us today, 10 times, sorry, your name? Sorry, your surname? Sorry, oh, I forgot. Oh, yes, I've seen you somewhere, isn't it? That's how bad we are. Why? Because our minds are like pots. Each one of our brains has a capacity. Some have 2 kg capacity. I'm giving you in kg so you can understand. 2 kgs, 5 kgs, 10 kgs. We are filling it with everything else. So when the necessary things come, the pot is full. What are you going to put in there now? The pot is choking, man. Everything you know is her number, and that one's email, and this one's that. Khalas, your pot is choking. So now when it has to come to something necessary, you don't know it. But I can't memorize. Take a hammer and knock it. Maybe some will come out of the other ear. Then you'll be able to fill it. Subhanallah. But this is the weakness with us. Our memories are weak because we filled it with unnecessary things. When you fill your mind with the Quran, wallahi, you have increased the capacity of your mind. Alhamdulillah. So memorize the Quran and Allah will open the doors for you. Try. Each one of you have memorized something. All of you seated here are hafiz of something of the Quran. Every single one of you. Allah has chosen you to memorize His word. Every one of you.
Don't you know Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen? You know it. You've memorized the word of Allah. You are partly hafiz of something in the Quran. So thank Allah. At least we've got something on the day of Qiyamah we can stand with, isn't it? So smile. And I'm seeing us smiling, Alhamdulillah. I have also contributed towards the protection of the Quran. You can say that. I might not be a full hafiz, but I am hafiz. That's why hafiz is already half from the beginning. Hafiz. They don't say full fees. They say hafiz. May Allah save us all. Now, sorry. That is a very, very good question. Ideally, we are meant to be doing things solely for the pleasure of Allah. But some of us through weakness, what do we... The question is, he is saying, some of us through weakness, we do things because we want Jannah and so on. Wallahi, let me tell you, if you are doing something for Jannah, you are doing it for Allah. If you are doing something for something Allah has promised you in the Akhirah, you are doing it for Allah. But the minute you are doing it for something in the dunya, you are heading in the wrong direction. I'm doing it because, you know what, I want to marry that girl. And you see, her father comes to this mosque, so I'm shifting masjids from that one to this one, because I need to stand next to him and rub shoulders with him. So that at least tomorrow, when I say, you know what, propose for your daughter, he says, oh, that guy reads Salah right next to me. Very good youngster. Subhanallah. Your intention was wrong. May Allah save us. And may He get us married to spouses that are the coolness of our eyes. I'm giving you living examples. That's why I see the smiling. Subhanallah. It's a fact. So remember one thing. Anything to do with the Akhirah from what Allah has promised you. If you say, I'm reading Salah because I want to be protected from Jahannam. You are right. That's it. You are correct. It's part of what Allah has told you. You are doing it out of the fear of Allah. It's Allah who is in control of Jannah and Jahannam totally. But the minute you are doing it for something connected to the dunya, now you are in the wrong direction. And if that is happening to you out of weakness, you need to rectify it. You might have started coming to the masjid because of that father-in-law of yours. But if you can now change your intention halfway and say, no, Ya Allah, I'm already married, but I'm still going to go to the masjid. Subhanallah. May Allah save us. Wallahi, we are weak. We do need attention sometimes. Now. Yes.
Based on topic Jannah and Jahannam, we find that as a Muslim minority, that at the present moment the Pope is dead and the funeral will be tomorrow. Would it be wrong of Muslims to send condolences?
Will it be wrong of Muslims to send condolences to the Pope? Very good question. Any non-Muslim that dies, there are certain things we are allowed to do. Certain things we're not allowed to do, we know that. Certain things we're allowed to do, certain things we're not allowed to do. So for example, the hadith, the Quran has taught us, let me read the verse for you.
مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ وَمَا كَانَ اسْتِغْفَارُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ إِلَّا عَنْ مَوْعِدَةٍ وَعَدَهَا إِيَّاهِ فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهِ
سبحان الله صدق الله العظيم. Allah says it is not befitting for a prophet or for the believers to seek forgiveness for those mushrikeen and kuffar who've died. Especially when you know that these people have earned the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from that verse, and Allah speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he said, Ya Allah, forgive my father. But what he meant was something else. He made a dua for hidayah for his father. His father was not guided then. And he did not know that it was prohibited to make dua for forgiveness after the man has died and declared by Allah as an enemy of Allah. So Allah says, تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُ. When he knew from Allah that this is not permissible, he disassociated himself from that same dua of his and he sought forgiveness for it. That was Ibrahim alayhi salam. So to send condolences to your neighbor who is a non-Muslim, or to someone else who worked with you, a good person who was a non-Muslim, you are saying, I am sorry. My condolences. I apologize. My sympathies. I am with you. Is that seeking forgiveness for them? It's not. You're just saying, I am sorry.
My condolences. Listen to the statements. My condolences to you. I sympathize with you. We are together in the loss. I bereave, or I am part of the bereaved. Whatever you want to say. That's all okay. That's fine. But the minute you say, may Allah forgive him. Now you are asking for trouble. Because they did not want that forgiveness themselves. In this life, they did not seek that particular forgiveness. And if they did, it's Allah who knows best. He will deal with them. We don't know whether they will go to Jannah or Jahannam. Someone might have uttered the Shahada at the point of death, which we don't know about. They might have gone to Jannah. You know, when Diana passed away, or died. In fact, Diana died, you must remember that, because D-I-A-N-A. They say it stands for die in a nasty accident. And that's exactly what happened. So, when she died in a nasty accident, let me tell you, there was talk in the world, this was many years ago, that she was a Muslim. And I remember the Imam of the Haram, Saud al-Shuraim, may Allah grant him a long and healthy life. He spoke in the Haram. He said, there are people who are worried about whether this woman was died a Muslim or not. There are people arguing that she died as a Muslim. I don't know if the arguments came to Cape Town as well. So he says, we don't know if the man she was with doing what they were doing was a Muslim or not. And we are arguing about her, point number one. Point number two, he mentioned, he says, worry about yourselves, whether she is a Muslim or not, cannot change the condition of Islam and the Muslims of the world. It can't. Worry about yourselves. Shaitan is trying to make you pull someone into Islam in such a way that you are dragged out in the process. May Allah save us. It's a fact. The hadith says that a sign of Qiyamah is when those who commit zina openly will be the most respected. Today, who do we respect? Money. Even if the man is the biggest sinner on earth, hey, رَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ مَالُوا إِلَى مَنْ عِنْدَهُ مَالُوا Subhanallah. رَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ مَالُوا إِلَى مَنْ عِنْدَهُ مَالُوا The Arabic saying, I saw people leaning towards those who have wealth. And the two words sound the same. مَالَ يَمِيلُ مَالُوا means to lean towards. And مَال means wealth. So I saw the people مَالُوا, which means they turn towards. مَنْ عِنْدَهُ مَالُوا The one who had wealth. It's happening today. So a sign of Qiyamah. People will not be judged by piety. They will be judged by wealth. And even if they are the biggest of sinners, may Allah save us all, wallahi. So for this, as I have just said, when it comes to the Pope himself, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us hidayah. We are worried about our hidayah. May He not make our children popes of the Christians. Tomorrow we might have someone whose forefathers might have been a Muslim and they are serving in the church. And it's happening. It's happening. But we must pray to Allah that, Ya Allah, guide us, protect us, save our offspring. Make dua, Ya Allah, make my children hafidhul Qur'an. Once you make that dua, it is you have posted a request. When you post the request, the dua has to be answered. If not your children, your offspring, 2, 3, 4, 5 generations down, someone will be hafidh. You not realizing it was my dua that I posted 50 or years ago or 2 generations ago. And now the child is becoming hafidh. No one knows the barakah of whose dua was accepted. So make dua. May Allah make our children the champions of deen. Ameen. Naam. Some of the Muslim clerics are going to the funeral of the Pope. The second part of the question is, if their mote comes there, what is the status? What is their status? Let me tell you, this question is twofold. The first is to go to the funeral of the Pope. If you ask me, I will tell you, brother, don't waste your time. حق المسلم على المسلم ستٌ. According to a hadith, the right of one Muslim over another, part of these rights are to follow his janazah. We don't want to follow the janazah of a Muslim brother who passed away in your neighborhood to walk from here to the graveyard, and I want to fly to the Vatican. Is that not a sign of weakness of iman? So if you are to ask me, I will tell you, brother, don't waste your time. But for those ulama who have gone, why they went, they know best. I can't rule. I didn't go to them. Why did you go? What is the reason? Do you have something you are championing, some cause? Are you going to go there for da'wah? Like for example, the ruling of a person who goes to the church. We are asked, I've seen this man in the church. Now he died. Do I bury him as a Muslim or kafir? Well, he might have gone to the church to invite people to Islam. If that was the case, he dies a mujahid. He dies a martyr in the path of Allah. He might be in the church. So we cannot rule on the people's intentions. But I can tell you, for me and you, let's not waste our time going to the Vatican. Why they are there, they know best. If they have a responsible answer to Allah, Allah will deal with them on that day. But for us, me and you here, I will tell you, by, if you would like, follow 20 janazas here from this masjid, from your locality, and Allah might give you Jannah in return because you fulfill the rights of your Muslims, brothers and sisters. Rather than going so far, buying a plane ticket when you can't even attend Salatul Janazah here, forget about going to the graveyard. May Allah save us. So that is how I would answer the question. I would say that why they have gone, they know best. If they have a good enough answer for Allah, if they die, Allah will deal with them. But for me and you to say they are kafir or they are not or they are or why, I can't judge. I don't know. They haven't given me reasons. I'm going to meet a few of them in 2 weeks' time, inshallah. When I will go to Cairo, I will meet some and we will talk to them, inshallah, if Allah takes us there. That's if we don't die before that. May Allah grant us a good death. Remember, whenever we die, make dua, ya Allah, once you know that I've arrived at my peak and you know that there is no more goodness in my life, take me away. Ya Allah, it's a difficult dua. It's a difficult dua, but make it. To say, ya Allah, when you know that dying is better for me, take me away. When you know that living is better for me, keep me alive. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh Allah, keep me alive for as long as you know that life is better for me. Take me away. When you know that it's better for me to go away, Allahu Akbar. Whether I am 30 years, 35 years, 50 years, 40 years, 20 years, whatever my age, that's besides the point. We are all heading in the same direction. You lose your son who's 20 years old. You don't know that was the best decision for that child. Maybe that was the peak of the child when the child became so loved by Allah that Allah took the child away. And we tend to cry and we cry and we cry. Yes, as human beings, it hurts us. But we must understand, I'm also going there. He went. What have I prepared for my meeting with Allah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. I think with this, inshallah, we come to an end. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whatever we have said. What I have said, if it is good and correct, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any errors are from me and from shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and protect us. That was the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah, saying, Allahumma, Inna nas'aluka ilman nafi'a. Oh Allah, we ask you knowledge that is beneficial. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'. Oh Allah, we seek your protection from knowledge that is of no use. Wa min aynin la tadma'. And we seek your protection from eyes that will not cry for your sake. Wa min qalbin la yakhsha'. And we seek your protection from a heart that will not fear you. Wa min nafsin la tashba'. And we seek your protection from a soul that will not be content. وَمِن دُعَاءِ اللَّهِ يُسْمَعْ. And we seek your protection from a dua that will not be answered by you. These were the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah to grant us success. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.